1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it come into the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, I ask now that you would please guide us in this time and lead us into what you would have us to know, both as a church and as individuals, both as your bride and as your high priests. Father, I beg you that you would please help us to understand what it is that you want us to know. I pray for those who have come today for the very first time into a church like ours. And I ask today that you would give them a mind to understand in such a way that is truly supernatural, that goes above what would naturally be able to be understood. And Father, I pray that they would understand, most of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh to die on that cross for their sin, for their personal sin, and that He rose again, that He is Jesus Christ. And so please, may you teach us these things today. And I beg you, I plead with you that in a world that is filled with so many beliefs, in a world where these beliefs that are so contrary to who you are have intermingled with your doctrines and your word, I plead with you that we would in our lives personally and in our lives practically, that we would see these things for what they are and that we would cast them aside as lies. And Father, if there is any in this room who have trusted you as their Savior but have been inundated with lies and have begun to believe them, may you use this time to help them. And Father, if there's any here or not here who have fallen away in a way of speaking because of lies that they believed, reach them in a way that goes beyond the pulpit and even beyond people. Do the work that only you can do. Please, help us in this today. Bless us now. And we pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Last week we began to look at this passage of Scripture. And I want you to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has a great plan for your life. It's a plan that goes beyond growing up to be an adult who's nice. It's a plan that is eternal in its scope because God wants to use our life to reach other lives for eternity. Remember that our years in this world are not the only years of our existence, right? We will live on into and for eternity. Every person who is conceived into this world is going to have eternity. And that eternity is going to be forever with God in heaven, or it will be spent forever in hell apart from God forever. The only thing that keeps any person from heaven is what they believe and what they trust for their life. And those who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, that He was buried and that He rose again in the flesh from the grave on that third day, those who believe that Jesus Christ, the God who made all things, came to earth to die for them. He came to die for you. And rose from the dead the third day. They will be with God forever. Because the sin that separates them is gone. And all who have trusted Christ in this room, this is true for you. And God wants to use your life for eternity. The few years that we have here, God wants to use our life for eternity's sake in the lives of others. He wants to use our lives to shape others who have come to know the Lord, to help them to know everything that God has for them. Everything that God wants them to know. He wants to use us for that. He wants to use my life to teach, but not mine only. Jesus Himself said to teach the world everything that I've taught you. Brethren, how many of you would say that what God has taught you has been greatly valuable to your life? You would say, if I did not know these things, if I did not know these things, I would not know something that is far more valuable than anything I ever learned in school. How many of you would say that? You know, I praise the Lord that I know math and science and social studies and I don't know much about art, but the little bit I do know, I'm glad I do. I'm glad that I've learned many things, but I would gladly give those things up to know that Jesus Christ gave Himself for me. And to know the wonderful and richly blessing truths of the Word of God. God has a great plan for us. But we need to understand that there are multitudes of thoughts, of beliefs, of things that people believe outside of the Scripture that are at this very moment actively working to keep us from living according to that plan. To keep us from the God who made us. And to keep us from the will of Him. Our spiritual life as Christians is defined, we are defined by our obedience to God. That's what our spiritual life is defined by. How are we obeying God? God saved us and has given us the opportunity to obey Him. Now, for us who live in this age, obedience sounds like a very bad thing. Obedience is breaking away the freedom that I want to have to do whatever it is I want to do. But when we contrast what it is that we want to do and what that ultimately leads to what God wants us to do and what that ultimately leads to, we should desire to obey Him with every part of our heart. More than that, when we look at how much Jesus Christ has loved us, we ought to every part of our heart love Him. And say, it makes all the sense in the world for me to love Jesus and to obey Him. Because I know that He has my good in mind. And not only that, not only does He love me and have my good in mind, but He is capable of knowing what is best, right? He knows what's best. We obey Him because we believe Him. We have faith in what He says. We also obey Him because we love Him. We love Him because He loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in His Word that there will be many false prophets who will seek to get us to believe falsely about God's truth. These false prophets will attack the faith of the Christian in belief of the truth. Number one, the false prophet will try to get us to doubt the truth of God's Word. The false prophet will try to get us to doubt the truth of God's Word. The false prophet will also seek to get us to doubt that Jesus loves us. Number one, he wants to get us to doubt the truth. Number two, he wants to get us to doubt that Jesus loves us. He gets us to doubt the truth because the truth does put a confining about our lives that says, I will go along the narrow path and I'm not going to go off it. The false prophets would say, would try to get us to come to the conclusion that the narrow path is bunk and we need to go wherever we want to go. The false prophet is then going to take the sorrows of your life and say, see, Jesus doesn't love you. If Jesus loved you, then your mom and dad would have stayed together forever. By the way, mom and dad, it's good for you to stay together forever. I remember growing up and I lived in kind of the middle of easy divorcism and the idea that divorce is something that everybody should get as soon as they fall out of love with one another. And the psychologists say, it's better for the kids for you to get divorced. They say that. It's better for you to get divorced. If you stay together and you guys are as miserable as you are, you're just going to be, it's going to be bad for the kids. I want to ask you, now that I'm beyond, 30 years beyond my childhood, and we can see 30 years of this and 40 and 50 years of this, is it better for the children? That is a lie. The false prophet will say, you see, Jesus doesn't love you. Jesus doesn't love you. When bad things happen, the lie that Jesus doesn't love you is going to come. And brethren, I want you to know that no matter the circumstance of your life, no matter what difficulty or sorrow or pain or suffering that you have gone through or are currently going through, Jesus loves you. And Jesus, and I say this all the time, but I say it because it's true. Jesus has more than this life in His mind. He knows that there's an eternity. There is a period that we cannot actually call time because there is no time in eternity. But once we are there, there's not going to be any more tears. Once we're there, there's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more disease. I'm not going to sin against anybody. And nobody is going to sin against me. I sin against my Son. But in heaven, I never will. And so that's true for every parent here, isn't it? If you have a son or daughter, you sin against them. Your son or daughter may use that as an excuse to say that you don't love them or Jesus doesn't love them. But it doesn't take away from the truth that He does. So the false prophet is going to attack in two areas. The truth of what God has said in His Word and the truth that Jesus loves them. We must be grounded and firm in intellectually understanding God's Word, but also spiritually obeying Him. That His way becomes our way. It's not just that we plod along doing it because we feel if we don't we're going to get spanked, but we go along with God because it is who we are now. It is the way in which I know I should go. And I am happy to be on that narrow way. Brethren, we ought to get to the place in our Christian walk where we say, I am glad to be on the narrow way. And we even rejoice at the understanding of what our life might be like if we weren't. Right? Isn't that true? What would my life be like if I wasn't on the narrow way? My goodness, how He loves us. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit who knows the truth because He is the truth. He is God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Holy Spirit, if we are willing to, He is not going to lead us into believing falsehood. But if we disregard Him who lives in us, we can. We like to quote, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But if we say that means that I can never believe wrong things, you are sorely mistaken. He will not allow you to go in believing wrong things without His input. But you can ignore Him. You can grieve Him. You can say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I don't care. I am going to believe what's convenient for me. And I'm going to shut you out. But it is true. He is greater than every spirit in the world. He can and He will bring us through the attacks of false teaching. Even in a world where truth is increasingly attacked, belittled, marginalized, and hated, we can live for Christ in obedience to the truth. By the way, the truth is increasingly attacked in our age. Jesus said in Matthew 24, there is going to come a day in which every nation is going to attack the truth. Every nation is going to persecute those who trust Christ. We are coming very close to that day. The one nation upon earth that lifted up the truths of the Word of God has some time ago broken that foundation. By the way, I'm talking about America. And though in America we don't find the persecution of Christianity as we might find in other nations, it is there and it is in full force. Talking to a lady the other day whose cousin is a mother of a lesbian daughter. She's had them over to her home, fed them. When the ride home was too long, said, "Why don't you sleep here?" But because she's a Christian, that cousin, this is a lady in her 60s. She said, "I'm not talking to you anymore." You see, her and her daughter were invited to literally stay over at her home. Say, "You know, the ride home is too long. Why don't you sleep here?" And they did. This woman who said that she was a lesbian said, "Why don't you sleep here in my Christian home?" And she said, "Well, I'm not speaking to you anymore." That is beyond ridiculous to me. Who else would do that? Even even someone who believes what you believe. Only a Christian would. Because we know the love of Christ for us, who has saved us from every vile thing. Isn't this true? We live in a society today that has marginalized the truth of Christ, has attacked it, belittled it, and hated it. We live in that day, brethren, but that doesn't mean that we have to change, right? We will continue on living for Christ with the love that He has given us for all people. And we ought to pray that we love all people, but not say, "But in order to love all people, I have to throw the truth out." No, in order for us to love all people, we must declare what is true in love. We speak the truth in love. We are willing to do what is best for the other person. Even the person who declares their homosexuality, we will do what is best for them, even at our own sacrifice. We will do as Jesus did, who is willing to allow a woman who is a woman of the night, a prostitute, to come and to touch His feet and to wash His feet with her hair. And to the disbelief of everyone around, we will go to the woman who is the most despised in the community and we will say, "How are you?" when no one else will give her the time of day. We'll say, "What can we do to be a help? Does your son need cleats?" We'll look to find him some. Because that is what Christ does. Amen. We obey Him. And we don't worry about what everybody else thinks. We say, "We're going to do what Christ will do." But there are false prophets who are trying and seeking to destroy the work of God in this world. And may God help us that we would not let Him. Take your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 15, notice what Jesus says here. This is the Sermon on the Mount, the first body of teaching that Jesus gives us. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." Now turn over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And look there in verse 22. We have a little bit of extra information. "For false prophets, or false Christs, and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." And so there are these false prophets, which are these antichrists, these ones who are against the teaching and truth of the Word of God. They are going to come and they are going to seem like the genuine article. They're going to seem like they're the ones whom we should believe and trust. How are we going to understand whether or not we should believe them? It cannot be by their works or their power. It can't be by how great their position is or how many others follow them. Notice what back in Matthew chapter 7, God tells us this, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorns or figs from thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have they have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And so I want you to notice what these false prophets say they do. Number one, they say, Lord, Lord. There are going to be many who profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but they do not believe in who He is. They do not trust Him beyond His name, and they don't even really trust His name. They use the name of Jesus as a way of gaining followers. They use the name of Jesus as a way of gaining money. And this is a terrible thing. This is what the false prophet will do. But notice what the false prophet is capable of. He's capable of prophesying in the name of Christ. He's capable of casting out devils. He's capable of many wonderful works. And so is good fruit good works? It can't be. Because here are those who are false prophets and are not allowed into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "I never knew you. You never knew me." How are we going to know? It is going to be by what is believed. You see, a false prophet is not going to believe the truth. That goes against the idea of false prophet, right? A false prophet is not going to believe what the Bible says. Does that make sense? It is not how nice they are or what they do. It is what they believe. It is what they believe. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24 in verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." This is in these last days. The scripture says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And then look there in verse 24. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And so how are the elect deceived if it's possible? By signs and wonders. How can we not be deceived? By knowing the truth and living according to that. And not letting anybody move us from what is true. What is true? What God says in this book right here. This book right here is the book that declares the truth of God. What other books tell us what the truth of God is? None other book. What other people tell us what the truth of God is? No other person. Can I declare to you the truth that is not in this book? Can I? I cannot. Right? I cannot give you anything about God, about mankind, that is true, that's not in this book. This book, of course, is the Bible. Brethren, I hope you love the Word of God. And I would warn you in this, if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't care to know it, then you are on a ground that's like sand. And you are ripe to believe false prophets. God's word is true. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1. But there were false prophets who also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I'm not trying to be uncouth here. I'm not trying to say a bad word. But what Paul is not saying is that he's not saying, damn these heresies. He's not giving a swear word to say how bad the heresies are. He's saying that these heresies, if believed, are damnable. If they believe these things, then they are not going to go to heaven. They are going to go to hell. And so how bad are the false prophecies? Are these false prophets? They are very bad. And they are seeking to bring within the church heresies that, if they are taught from the pulpit, will not bring anybody to believe in Jesus and be saved. Brethren, are there churches in America who teach things that, if believed by the people who hear them, they will not go to heaven? Yes. Brethren, we do not want our children to go to those churches. How are they going to be safe from that? Because mom and dad teach them what the Bible says. Right? That is their safety. Give your children a great safety net. It is such a sad thing when you see grandma and grandpa loving the Lord and going to church, and then their children going to church but not loving the Lord, and then those children not even knowing who Jesus is. Teach your children. Plead with them. Help them through the difficulties of life. Remember, what are the two ways the false prophet's going to go at your children? The truth, and the truth that Jesus loves them. Help your children to remember in their hard times that Jesus loves them, is going to get them through. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're almost done. Please, brethren, I say these things because we are living in a day where there are many false prophets. They are all over the place. And I have seen them steal away the people of God. This is so important. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. There are men and there are women who are right now ready, in your times of doubt and times of sorrow, to come in and deceive you. They're going to speak words that lift you up rather than Christ. Brethren, I want you to know that I believe with all my heart that it is not my job to lift you up from the pulpit, to make you feel good, but rather to lift up Christ and let Him make you feel good about Him and not about yourself. That is where God wants us to be led. He is not seeking to do as the philosophers of the day and the psychologists. They want to say, the first thing you need to do is you need to love yourself. How many of you ever heard that? I go to the prison. I hear it all the time. Well, my counselor said that I need to love myself. What is there in you to love? No. First, you need to love Christ, who first loved you. And then He makes all things lovely. Notice what He came to do, and we'll close. Isaiah chapter 60. Without Christ, there's nothing. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I want you to know, we don't have time, but in Luke, this is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. By the way, Christ means the Anointed One. To preach the good tidings unto the meek, He has sent me to bind up to the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Brethren, it is Jesus that makes us a tree of righteousness. You are not one in of yourselves. And so the false prophets will come in and they will speak sweetly. They will talk about how great you are. Don't be deceived. Jesus is great. If there's any greatness in us, it is because He has done it. If there's any grace, it's because He's given it. If there's any mercy, it's because He is abundant in mercy. He is the one who's great. Anything else is idolship. And we live in a world of people making an idol of themselves. He's great. Amen? Let's pray.